Well, there they are. They're all huddled in that upper room, and they're waiting to see what's going to happen next. Waiting. You know, we spend a lot of our time waiting. Waiting for things that may happen, waiting for things that may never happen. We spend a lot of time anticipating things to happen in our lives. And in so doing, we're often waiting for things to happen to us rather than through us. Let me say that again. We wait for things to happen to us instead of through us. And this passage today is a dramatic example of what can indeed happen. They're waiting in that upper room. The doors are locked. It is the day of Easter, as a matter of fact, and they're terrified. They saw what happened to Jesus, and they are waiting for the Jews and the Roman garrison to show up and arrest them and give them the same fate. And in the midst of all this anxiety and waiting, Jesus comes through the locked door, apparently, and says, Shalom, which is Hebrew for peace be with you. That's another word you can feel free to use if you want to, Shalom. If you're in southern Judea, you would say Shalom y'all. So, Jesus there tells them, as the Father has sent me, so I send you out of this room, out into the streets, out into the world. I'm sending you. And by the way, I'm not sending you alone. And he breathes on them and he gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's another Pentecost moment in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, in which the Holy Spirit comes. This, however, happens on the day of Easter. This is called the Johannine Pentecost. Okay? The Johannine gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's in the book of John. Go use that phrase with some of your friends and see what they say about you. Wow, that's a Bible scholar there. Impress your friends, dismay your enemies. There you are. Okay, the Johannine Pentecost. Jesus breathes upon the disciples gathered there, and when he does that, their terminology changes. They're no longer disciples, those who learn. Now they are apostles, those who are sent out into the world. He charges them, receive the Holy Spirit, and I'm giving you not only the ability, but I'm giving you the authority. Not only the responsibility, but the authority. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Responsibility and authority. He gives them both to those apostles. But you know that, golly gee, Pete, there's one missing. Thomas, the twin, so-called doubting Thomas. I prefer to think of him as Thomas the pragmatist. He is kind of from Missouri, the show me state. I'm not going to believe unless I see the nails in his hands and put my hand in the wound in his side. Do you remember Eeyore in Christopher Robin, the 100-Acre Wood? Eeyore, I call Thomas the Gospel of Eeyore, because Thomas is always saying something negative. When Jesus says, we're going to go into Jerusalem, and this is for the last time, Thomas says, well, let us go with him that we may die there also. And then today, Old Eeyore comes out again. Unless I see and put my fingers in the wounds of his hand and put my hands in his side, I'm not going to believe. The pragmatist, not necessarily a doubter per se, but a pragmatist. Show me. Kind of like the old Wendy's commercial, where's the beef? Show me. Same scene. 1 week later, Sunday afternoon, sun's going down. Thomas is there now. Thomas is with them. Where was he the first time? We don't know. I like to think he'd gone out to Burger King to get hamburgers for everybody. He was the one who you could count on to do that kind of thing, the pragmatist. Well, we've got to eat. I guess I'll go. You know, speaking of Burger King, if you go, which we weren't, but we are now, just follow along, trust me on this. If you go in Israel, Burger King is called Burger Melech, which is the Hebrew name for king. And so in Israel, you can go to Burger Melech and have it Yahweh. Do I need to explain that? Never mind. So Thomas is here now. And Jesus comes through that magic door one more time, says, Shalom, peace be with you. And you know, one thing Jesus doesn't do that I think I would if I were him, he doesn't ask, why are you still here? A week ago, I gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit and you're still in this room? What is wrong with you people? He doesn't say that. He doesn't judge. He has a view of time which is kind of beyond ours. He knows it's going to take a while for the apostles to get the intestinal fortitude to go out and do what he's asked them to do. Things take time in the kingdom of God. And he comes in and there is Thomas. And he says, here are my hands, stick your fingers in them. Here's my side, put your hand in it. And all of a sudden, Thomas does not do what he said he wanted to do. He gives this dramatic exclamation, my Lord and my God. And he says it like he means it. Why? Because he does. He has come to this theophany, this revelation of God to him, that this is real. Same revelation that had come to the rest of the apostles has now come to Thomas. And he will go out. And he will become one of the most far-flung of the apostles. He will take the church of Jesus Christ to India. And we believe up into China. The Bar Thomas Church, the Bar Toma Church, is still present there in India today. One of the oldest expressions of the faith. Sometimes those of us who are a little slow on the uptake of the faith become the faith's greatest proponents. And we do well to give people the space they need to come to belief. Now I want to go back in the passage a little bit where Jesus gives them the Holy Spirit. The adult Sunday school class this morning was talking about the Holy Spirit, the giving of breath to the disciples. I want you to go back in your Bible knowledge to the creation of the world. God's Spirit, God's breath hovers over the created chaos and breathes order and life into the cosmos. God takes clay or dust and makes a human form. And what does God do? God breathes life into this piece of clay, and that piece of clay lives. I want you to think about that. When Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit unto the disciples, he is giving them his life. He's giving them his strength. He's giving them his wisdom. He's giving them his power. Not so they can sit in that upper room and navel gaze for weeks on end. He gives it to them so that they themselves might go out into the world and breathe that same life-giving power to all the ends of the earth. One of my favorite sayings is, it's not enough to get a blessing. You have to be a blessing. I hear all the time people saying, oh, I'm praying for a blessing. I'm praying for a blessing. Well, you know, you've probably already had several, but now you need to be a blessing. You see, that's part of God's marvelous economy of humanity. We are not called just to receive the breath of God. We are called to share it. Some of you are saying, I can see it in your faces, oh my Lord, he's calling me to go out and evangelize. No. God's not going to call you to do anything God hasn't equipped you to do. If your special gift is to drive a tractor, then you drive a tractor for God. And there may be somebody who has need of a tractor driver out there. I needed one this past week. I had 9 big 25-year-old plants that were called to glory over the winter. Big things. I thought I might dig them out. That lasted about 2 minutes. Called a friend of mine who has a big excavator. Can you come over here and give me about a half day of your work? He said, sure. Came over. He looked at the task. My Lord, we're going to need a dump truck. We're going to need 2 dump trucks, preacher. But he had them. He came over, and we negotiated a price, and all of a sudden I had a tractor pulling out those big plants. Now my house looks like World War II. But we'll fix that. If you teach for God. Bring forth the best out of those little lives that you can do. If you are in retail, be in retail for God and build relationships with people so that they will know that there's something special about you. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. You see, that's what this passage is about. It's not just about old Doubting Thomas. It's about the gift we have received. This unbelievable belief that we have that sets us apart and calls us to be, yes, more than we really are. Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, a willingness to accept that living breath which you give us in every age, in every person, that all that we do and all that we are may glorify you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.